two new films in theaters look back to blockbusters of the past for inspiration. One sinks, the other swims. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. To discuss the big-budget sci-fi sequel Independence Day Resurgence and the much smaller-scale open-water thriller The Shallows, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent On Film contributor and Alamo Drafthouse Cinema creative associate Oscar Garza. Good morning, Oscar.
Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. Full disclosure, while you work for one of our local theaters, we should note that these two films we're going to discuss today are playing pretty much everywhere across town.
Yeah.
Independence Day, 20 years on, we come back to a film from the 90s. Thoughts?
I really am a huge fan of, not a huge fan of this film, but kind of, I sort of really, really enjoyed it. Kind of like this big budget B-movie-ish, that, and Roland Emmerich totally embraces that. Plus he has Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman.
Does Roland Emmerich make any other kind of movie?
Not really. He just kind of has a lot of fun destroying the world, and I like him seeing destroying the world.
I really found this lacking in most fronts. I thought it was one of the softer films I've seen artistically this summer of the big budget things.
Yeah.
It's amazing the array of big titles that we've had, these tent poles, but I kept thinking, was there a clamor out there to return to this world 20 years hence? If there was a sequel, wouldn't it have been
probably
a few years
not,
after the original?
Probably not, but I like the fact that he just goes all out. It just seems to me like the studio said, okay, Roland, you made a huge hit with Independence Day 20 years ago. Here's a lot of money. Just go nuts.
And nobody thought that, hey, the world has changed and our taste in movies has moved on.
Probably not.
Okay, break down the film for us. Without spoilers, although the trailer pretty much gives everything away.
So this is set 20 years after the original Independence Day, and Earth kind of has embraced alien technology, and they've kind of coexisted, created this utopia, for lack of a better word. And it's not until David Levinson, played by the awesome Jeff Goldblum, kind of discovers this alien mothership hovering about, you know, above Earth, and he sort of reunites, you know, scientists and the military to kind of see what the threat is and kind of prepare Earth for, you know, attack, basically.
It's no regular alien mothership, we should say, though. It has a circumference similar to our moon. And
it's
when
like
it lands, I have to say, why didn't it crack the Earth in half?
It's like a gigantic alien mothership that's just hovering.
Yeah, I think it would have moved us out of our orbit, and we would have had much bigger problems from a physical point of view than the aliens that were on board. Wow. Well, so we're on very polar opposites on this film.
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, it's fun. It's kind of like breezy summer fun, in my opinion, kind of like this. It knows what it is. It knows that it's a kind of big, dumb B-movie. It's pure spectacle, in my opinion.
Okay, well, we can find common ground with the words big and dumb. let's say that.
Yeah, for sure.
there's really nothing about this film that worked for me. It just didn't. And Jeff Goldblum, who I adore as well, and Bill Pullman, you know, they have so little to work with here. And while the alien technology has unified the world and the 20 years ago, the battle, it seems like that technology has been completely given over to the military, because we still have people driving around in station wagons and old school buses in this film. I just thought, you know, wow, the rest of the world didn't get to benefit at all from this alien technology.
It's just only for the military.
We're not driving hoverboards everywhere.
No.
For me, and obviously I did not like the film, there's this one little scene that was quite affecting for me, which was surprising, which was Brent Spiner's reprisal of his original eccentric scientist role, if people know the film from 96.
Yeah, he's great, I think.
And there's this moment with he and his partner, who's a fellow scientist, that I won't give anything away, but you know, it's the only time I felt connected to anybody in the
actual
film.
Sort of humanity.
Right. The humanity that we're all trying to save here. Also, this is one of those films of recent vintage where we see the insertion in a very non-organic way of several major Chinese characters.
Yeah.
And it's a transparent way to see how Hollywood has pivoted to the East, that we are the Far East, that we were looking to the Chinese markets for the salvation of Hollywood, basically. Yeah. And so you get these couple of major Chinese characters. They even get to speak some Chinese in the film. Which seemed to have no other reason to be there other than to open up the Chinese market to a film like this.
Yeah, but you're totally right. I mean, that happened last year with The Martian as well. where it's kind of like, you know, financing, you know, Hollywood has to look out for the Chinese market. And they're
Transformers 4, which the whole last few reels was shot in China.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's the Chinese army that comes to our salvation. So anything else to say about Independence Day that, that would sway people to go see this? Obviously, I'm not suggesting anybody see this film. It did very poor at the box office, very far below expectations.
I think it's, you know, and one of the things that it's definitely missing a leading man. As much as I love Jeff Goldblum and as much as I love Bill Pullman, you know, someone has to carry that film. And you look at the original Independence Day, Will Smith was the leading man, and he was on prime charming leading man mode in that film. And, you know, Bill Pullman is great and Jeff Goldblum is great in the film, but it's sort of missing that leading man. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think it kind of didn't do that well at the box office.
We agree on that too. You know, for me, the film really labors under so many preposterous plot threads and we're just sort of force fed these twists in and information in such quick succession that, and there's too many characters with no leads. It really is missing that the charisma that Will Smith brought to the original film, that swagger that...
Yeah, I could have been in a barbecue or that, Welcome to Earth.
That placed it into serious popcorn movie realm as opposed to what's going on in this film. So if Independence Day, though, is burdened with too many characters and locations and plot lines, our next film, The Shallows, is simplicity itself. This really is a survival film of a very different sort. Independence Day, we're blowing up the entire world. This one's just about a single woman and a single shark. You know, to me, there is something primordially frightening about the ocean, and The Shallows really trades, I think, on our innate fears of what lies beneath to sometimes excellent effect. This is a little, compared to Independence Day, this is a very low budget, just a fraction. I think it was like $16 million to make, which is...
It's like 80 minutes as well.
It's 80 minutes. It knows what it is, and it goes for it. It stars Blake Lively, whose past film work has had her in ensembles or playing second-tier parts. She plays a med student who's put her life on hold. We meet her in mid-escape from a recent trauma in search of a secret beach, a place to heal spiritually and do some solitary surfing. With few exceptions, she has this particular piece of Central American coast all to herself, and Lively really shoulders the majority of this film single-handedly. Oscar, I think she's extremely capable, and hopefully this will be a turning point in her career that she can carry an 80-minute film pretty much all by herself. It also reminded me, it's not unlike Sandra Bullock's character in Gravity, where you know she's beset by all these circumstances that force her to dig deep and choose to survive, fighting against amazing odds and literally get back to solid ground, floating out there. It's also a beautiful film. There's some really incredible cinematography here, and that beauty is more than skin deep, but it also has a simplicity that I think works in its favor, where so many of the big films we've been seeing are just so bloated with ideas and people. This is really about one thing, and it's a woman versus nature film, or more specifically, a woman versus shark movie.
Awesome.
Which anybody who's seen the trailer knows that. Yeah. I don't think we're giving that away.
No, the trailer was intense, and the film looks intense.
Yeah, you know, this is a situation where she's stuck a few hundred yards offshore and trying to map her way there without getting eaten alive. And though the shore is close, she really has to use her wits to find temporary refuge on even the smallest of floating sanctuaries. You know, you can't watch a film like this, a shark movie, and not think of the 1975 film Jaws and all of its offspring. But the Shallows often nods to that cinema grandfather, but I think it really charts its own course. And some of the things that we might not always think about when we go to films is, you know, Marco Beltrami's wonderfully arid score in this is this fascinating work. So try to pay attention to what's going on underneath with the music. And it's a real compliment to Flavio Labiana's this crystalline cinematography. He just captures the shimmer and sparkle and fluidity of these waters that Blake Lively finds herself in, as well as the sharpness and danger below. There's reefs and corals and rocks and, of course, teeth.
A lot of teeth.
So I like this as a respite from in the middle of summer from all of our massive superhero
it's a breath
films.
Breath of fresh air.
It really is, and you can almost feel that air and the coolness of the water in this film. it's, as you said, refreshing. And I think it's one of the rare summer films we've seen that doesn't pretend to be anything other than what it is.
Which is a solid, solid thriller.
It's a solid thriller. It's 80 minutes long. It's a low budget, but it did very well. I think it's already made back all of its money in its first opening weekend.
Awesome.
And the people at Sony must have smelled blood in the water with Independence Day, because I know they moved the release date of The Shallows up to compete directly with Independence Day.
They're like, let's put Blake Lively to compete against Independence Day.
That's right, and it seems to have paid off for them. There are some awkward moments here. It's not a perfect film. I don't want to suggest that by any means. It's just a tight little genre film, but towards the last reel, there's some things that move it from the Jaws category to more of a late Jaws category, where some crazy stuff that goes on trying to get rid
category.
Of the shark that kind of undermines the simplicity and beauty of the first two-thirds of the film.
Gotcha.
So I would highly recommend this film to folks, particularly in the middle of summer if you need time to cool off.
It's by this really cool director, Jem Khaled Serra, who also made two of my favorite kind of B-movie thrillers starring Liam Neeson, Unknown and Nonstop. If you haven't seen those, like, go check it out, because he knows what he's doing. He knows that he's working on this kind of thriller-esque world, and he does it really, really well.
And he's a Spanish director, and these films have a slightly different sensibility to what we're used to being force-fed here in America in the summer.
Yeah, for sure. You can totally feel this as well in his previous films.
So not a high recommendation for me, but I would say I would recommend this film, particularly if you're just looking for to be taken away to some beautiful climes and be
escape
thrilled.
From the war, from
escape
from
the aliens,
alien motherships hovering above the earth.
A few minutes left. You have anything that you would suggest for our home viewing?
If you are a Netflix subscriber, I highly recommend Bloodline, which is this awesome noir-y kind of mystery show starring Kyle Chandler and Sam Shepard and Sissy Spacek. Mm-hmm. First season is amazing. I think if you're a fan of those kind of noir tales like Key Largo or The Big Sleep, that's a massive influence on this show, and it's great.
Fantastic. I have not seen that, so I'll check it out. For me, The Shallows really brought to mind while I was watching it another seagoing adventure film just from 2013. This was a title that was largely unseen by audiences in limited release, but one of my favorite Man vs. Nature films of recent memory, All Is Lost. Even more streamlined than The Shallows, we just have Robert Redford, the film's only actor. He's sailing around the South Pacific when his boat takes on a leak, and we journey with him as he finds himself in increasingly dire straits. So it's really a marvel for Redford's almost wordless performance and his ability to communicate exactly what he's thinking throughout the film, and I highly recommend it. It also is available on Netflix and I think Amazon, probably other streaming platforms. Well, Oscar, it's always good to chat with you.
Always
and,
great to
watch
chat
some movies.
With you as well.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
I've been discussing the merits of two recent films, the big-budget end-of-the-world sci-fi film Independence Day Resurgence and the small-budget but effective The Shallows with frequent on-film contributor Oscar Garza. A final program note, the Film Salon has moved to a new venue, the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, and screens tonight at 7 p.m. the 1948 John Huston classic The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart, Walter Huston, and Tim Holt. Tickets are still available for just $3 at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, and you can find more information at filmsalon.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.